you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Party people!
The pitch on the wing. Grilled in the air. Deep left field. It's got a chance. Get out the tape measure for Ian Happ. All the way on to Waveland Avenue. Cubs lead 6-3.
Hector Neris is up in the Cubs' bullpen.
And isn't that a sign of relief?
Heart attack, Hector!
Uh-oh, Hector's warming.
New guy in the mound,
Hector Neris.
Hector Neris did not work over the weekend.
Hector Neris, 10 saves, 3 blown saves. A foul off to the right. That one, I think Soler was interfered with by the catcher, Amaya. And Soler will be allowed to go to first base. Yaz takes outside, ball 4. And the possible tying runs are now on base.
We always talk about in these games, with the wind blowing out, walks and errors, how crucial they are to not have them for your team and making all the plays.
The pitch to Tyro Estrada, right-handed hitter. Tyro swing, and it's a high drive into left field deep. At the wall, adios, Pelota! Can you believe that one?
And just like that, the Giants have taken a 7-6 lead.
You gotta be kidding me.
That is unreal.
You gotta be kidding me. Finally get one, you think you got a fairly comfortable lead,
and you blew it! You blew it!
Frankly, it's a fly ball. You know, it's the wrong night to give up fly balls.
Cubs fans are not happy.
What the hell is that going on out there? What the hell is that going on out there?
Baseball panic in Chicago.
Baseball is designed to torture you.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Well, I can't recap the game any better than that. That about sums up the feelings of most Cubs fans, which is somewhere between gallows humor and straight up anger.
And yeah,
you know what I mean. Like you maybe
Cubs
you can laugh.
Cubs fans are not happy.
No, they're not, John.
No, that guy can read a room.
Ooh, it's the Hall of Famer, the great John Miller. Ooh, boy, it was nice to hear his voice, except when he started to get excited about that home run.
Yeah, except what he was saying.
Yeah, there is that.
It's like, oh, I can listen to that guy read a phone book. I would rather listen to him read a phone book.
I would. Fun fact, that guy, when he was a kid playing Strat-O-Matic baseball with his friends, he would sing the national anthem before those games.
Wish he was doing that,
yeah.
Other than calling that
yeah.
Fly ball. Still going.
It's still going. It's deep.
Oh, it's my God. Wall.
Look at that.
Wow.
Wow. Hey, how about it? Yeah, that was just a knife twist, a cruel and ugly, damaging knife twist that leaves you about where you were, either laughing ironically or bemoaning yourself.
Life. Is that the worst, most painful loss of the year?
It's the latest one, Danny.
It's the latest. They got 16 one-run losses. So, I guess, because they blew a late lead and they haven't had a lot of late leads.
It was the roller coaster. It was the ride that you took. And feeling, I mean, how long did the lead last after the Michael Bush home run? I believe it was 2 pitches. I believe the second,
right.
The second pitch that Wesneski, threw was a home run to tie it.
So Neris is taking a lot of the public scrutiny, understandably. And Wesneski just keeps coming in, giving up nukes.
Their best right-handed reliever is Mark Leiter Jr., And you can't just have him close because you need
him. Who gave up a nuke last night.
And you can't have him. You need him for whatever lefties you might have to deal with because you don't really trust Luke Little to go against a lefty. And their second best right-hand reliever is a dude who was DFA'd by the Mariners 3 weeks ago.
Wait a minute. You mean Hayden Wesneski, the other piece in the Luis Robert trade along with BCA? Is that who we're talking about?
That was
about
a here? Hypothetical that Spiegs throughout. Distanced myself from it unless you were going to say yes.
How about that? The GM yesterday was like, he's got to focus on getting on base. I'm like, yeah.
he really does.
I would agree.
He really does.
Because Neris, I mean, at least sometimes he gets out of it. Wesneski is just like, guy comes in, gives up a home run. Okay. Well, that was fast. guess I don't know what we need to do the rest of this inning.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk to counsel about it. But
and last night he said that Hector Neris has been reliable for them.
Well, and that they've got to get 27 outs so he doesn't foresee them going away from him. But when you put it like you just did, it's like when someone says you got to take this guy out of the Hall of Fame or off an All-Star, or you want to put someone into an All-Star game. Okay, well, then you got to take someone out. It's easy to say we want Hector Neris to not be the closer anymore. Because to me, it feels totally reasonable to just say, hey, rearrange the deck chairs right now just to try something new. How many more blown saves can this guy take for his ego in between the ears and all? Let someone else blow a save for a minute. You know, so like I would expect Neris to not get the ball tonight in a save situation, even though counsel said that last night. That's what I would expect. And we'll ask him coming up in about 40 minutes. But whoever they give the ball to in a save situation tonight, Neris or otherwise, you're not going to feel good about it.
There's no closer on this roster. There's no closer on this active roster. This was a team that already was a little fearful for the bullpen in the offseason and then only added Neris and then lost three power righties to injuries who are not there. And they've scrambled. Keegan Thompson is here, man. I thought Keegan Thompson was toast 2 stays ago. I thought he was MLB toast 2 stays ago, maybe 3 stays ago, and they're going back to him. I don't freaking get it. Michael Arias and the minors, I want to know about. There's other dudes in the minors I want to know about. I don't know why they're not being more aggressive with those guys.
Nico Horner joins us. We'll see how that goes next on the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Leading off for the Parkins and Spiegel Show, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's fun.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
There goes Nico. The pitch outside. Throw to second base. Head first slide. Stolen base. Horner with a steal. Loving it and making the off-balance throw to first is Horner. Very good play for Nico.
He makes the play. Excellent throw to first base.
Horner stands in. Runner takes off from first. That one trickled up the first base line. Bobbled. Everybody safe. Say it a third. And it's 1-1.
Taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse all season long.
Big fan of all forms of water treatment. It's a hot topic today.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Our conversation with Nico Horner is brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. Nico's manager, Craig Counsell, will join us in 30 minutes. And Nico, of course, kind enough as always to join us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. What's up, Nico?
Hi, guys. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Good to talk to you. I remember one time last year you were like, I was asking you like how you like doing these with us, and you were like,
yeah.
You're like, well, it's a lot better when things are going well.
Yep, things are easy when it's wrong.
Yeah, so I hope is there any dread today? I hope not.
I want to see none of you. I don't want to see your face.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I mean, seriously, going to work when things are not going well sucks sometimes. There's sometimes I don't want to see Danny, you know?
I get it.
And he gets it, which is great. It's part of why I actually do not mind seeing him. But like,
thank you.
Is there any part of you that finds it hard to go to work when things are happening like this?
No. I think the best part about our sport is that there is always, not always, but there is tomorrow and the next day. Like, I think I don't know if I could be a starting pitcher or a football player or having those like big breaks between. Those emotional moments, good, bad, everything in between, like all of it, you just want to, move on from and play the next day. So I think that is the relentless, but kind of beautiful part about what we do. And, I'm excited to play today. My body feels great. I'm optimistic about it and move forward.
You've been candid with us before, every game counts as one, but some feel bigger or linger more, both positively and negatively. That the toughest one of the season last night?
Hard to say. It's obviously been a really abnormal stretch just as far as not only the wins and losses, which are dramatic, but the manner in which they've happened. So honestly, hard to put a ranking on that right now. But definitely stung. Definitely stung.
How much of this do you attribute to bad luck?
It factors in, but like, I'm kind of tired of that narrative at a certain point, because just, every team is playing under the same conditions and things like that. And like, when you play this many low scoring games, obviously all of us know that hitting relies on luck at a certain point, but, when it's weeks on end, I think it's more so on us, the players. And it doesn't mean that you need to change everything and panic. I think it's a factor, but it's not due to that.
So your answer a couple of questions ago about like, you're optimistic, your body's feeling good, you're ready to play. I mean, that's what do you do to get there? What in your life allows you to get to that mindset on the day to day?
Well, I mean, I know we say this like every time we have a call basically, but like the atmosphere last night on a Monday night it's just incredible given like how poorly we've played, and a Monday night, like to show up and have that many people there on a warm summer night, like, dude, it's not hard to get going. Like, we're so lucky, and that's part of why it stings too when you don't play well, is that it's a place that winning here would be as fun as anywhere in the world, and have a fan base that deserves it, and got to make it happen.
It's true, right? And our producer was in New York the other day at LaGuardia. He saw a guy wearing a Nico Horner jersey randomly in the airport, not getting on the flight to Chicago, mind you. So,
even better.
Yeah, so you got randoms out there.
I love that.
Yeah, that matters though, somehow, doesn't it? It's like, I mean, that's part of the good fortune.
Incredibly cool. Yeah. I mean, even like for me, just driving home from the ballpark, going through, Wrigleyville and then Lincoln Park and all that. You see someone wearing your jersey, man. It's a crazy feeling. It's so cool. It really is.
So, I respect what you said about you're tired of the narrative of bad luck. So we talk about you guys every day for probably too long. It's what leads us to ride the roller coaster and all of that. So we give takes and theories and opinions and all that. What's your opinion of it? Like, why is this going the way it's going?
Yeah, and I mean, I do think, luck is always a factor. Like, it's blatantly bad luck that Patrick Wisdom hit a ball that went over Waveland and then came backwards. Like, that's bad luck. There's no other way to say that. But, both teams played in the same conditions, and they homered that day, and, like, we lost, So it's like, what do I attribute losing to? Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a question a lot of us are taking on. I think it can lead to overanalyzing things and changing things that don't need to be. And that's where I think it just comes down to being the best version of yourself over and over and over again, and knowing yourself well. And, as far as effort, as far as team meetings and camaraderie, like, checking all the boxes, but we haven't won the big moments in games. That's where it comes down to me. You know, I had several chances this weekend with runners on base and I didn't get hits. And like, that's the biggest factor. You can prepare all you want, but when it comes down to those big moments, there is, you know, a level of straight up production that is the league we're in. And, you know, panicking and chasing results isn't always the best way to go about it, but that is what wins games.
You mentioned your chances with men on base. The game on Saturday when the pitcher for the Cardinals loaded the bases, he was wild as hell, and then they went out and got a new pitcher, and there's Nico to face the new pitcher in the bottom of the fifth with the bases jacked. Here's what it sounded like.
Nico Hoerner takes the first pitch from Leahy. He hits it hard to left. Going back is the left fielder, Donovan. And he makes the catch just in front of the outfield wall. Nico Hoerner found one to drive, gave it a ride with the bases full, but flies out to left to end the Cubs' fifth.
I know.
You're making him relive that because you were doing the play-by-play?
He embarrassed the play-by-play announcer. The play-by-play announcer was sure that it was gone, guy.
He had faith in me. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry on behalf of Nico. That was very that's a me move to do. I can't believe you did that to him.
Well, you know, where did I learn it? Nico, did you think it was gone? Because I obviously clearly sounded like a jamoke who thought it was gone.
It was good day to hit at Wrigley, so like anything in the air to left was definitely going to be in play or a good opportunity to go out. I did get jammed pretty good, unfortunately, but I hit it pretty flush to where I thought it might squeak out, but same as yesterday. I got a good pitch to hit it off the end and just short in front of the wall, and you know, nothing I'd change about those swings or attempts or anything, and just don't get it right.
You know, for the lineup overall, you guys are 26th in line drive percentage. Not a lot of line drives as a team. The fly balls, you're like, you know, middle of the pack, top half of the middle of the pack in fly balls. But in home runs, you're down at 20th. So, like, the question is this lineup trying too hard to hit home runs?
That's interesting. Yeah, hard to know where that comes from, but I think, you know, you talk about luck. No matter what you believe in baseball, the best way to control your luck is by hitting line drives. You know, they're the balls that have the best expected outcomes, even when they're not hit that hard or if they're crushed. Like, the line drive is kind of like the, you know, obviously the home run is the most valuable ball, but no matter what you believe in offensively, like, a line drive fits any situation. Runner on third, less than two outs, leading off an inning, you know, runner on first base. And so that's really at the heart of good hitting. I know it is for me. I've been on the ground a lot lately, or, you know, kind of slicing balls up in the air. So, now, the more line drives you hit, the more you can control your luck, for sure.
I wonder if, like, this love affair with the fly ball is kind of a systemic baseball issue, sort of like the arm injuries. Like, you learn as a kid that you're supposed to homer to make money, and then in the big leagues, you're supposed to homer to win games because it makes sense from the analytics perspective. But I don't know. I don't know if it's helping the quality of the game to have people trying to homer that much when it's so hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, if you set out to hit 25 homers or whatever it is versus you set out to hit a hard line drive every single at bat, I think the amount of home runs you hit is usually probably going to be pretty similar just from having that amount of flush hard contact over the course of a season. Obviously, that depends a ton hitter by hitter. But it's an interesting stat. I hadn't heard that one, but I feel like that matches up with the eye test. And, you know, you think about the runner in scoring position. Challenges that we've had, like, you know, line drives drive runners in, and, you know, line drives are extra base hits too. It's not just, like, you know, backside singles and things like that.
Do you believe that the team is collectively pressing?
I mean, we all feel results. We feel, I think all of us feel that, you know, like I mentioned on Sunday, I had great chances to help us win that game. And
yeah,
I think all of us feel like there's three or four wins, you know, that we've left out of, like, each of us feel like we could have made that difference. And that's probably not fair to ourselves, but I think things do get blown out of proportion when you go through struggles as a group, but that can also be good for reflection if you do so in a mature way. But you know, those results feel stronger and beyond like your individual stat line, like, you know, in your heart, like the moments that you're able to impact the game. And if you're really seizing those, and I think that's what stings the most.
Yeah. Cause I mean, last time we talked to you, you know, I was asking if you guys are doing enough like fun stuff, and you're like, well, you don't want us to be celebrating when we're losing. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's an excellent point. But then you said that you guys are analyzing the issues, and you are doing the team meeting stuff and the reflection and all that. So like, what can you let fans into? I know you're a guarded guy and the clubhouse is sacred, but like, what are you willing to let fans into that they don't see, and they are ranting online or drinking an extra beer or spiking a remote control? Like, how are you guys processing, and how can you let fans in to see that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, you know, we've had some, you know, team meetings and stuff. I think that's pretty common and throughout baseball, or in stretches that don't go well. And, you know, I think the thing that there's been like no like finger pointing or blame, I feel like, that's going around. So like, I appreciate that, because those situations can get pretty ugly, and there's been none of that. I think there's been really good support of each other, good communication. Just kind of, you just haven't put it together when it all that stuff. You can do all the right things behind the scenes, but at the end of the day, it's about, you know, seizing those moments and being the best version of yourself you can be every day. And, you know, we've had some attempts to right the ship, both through team talks or sillier things, and, you know, it's always good to keep those things light, but it's about what happens on the field, and we have the right group of guys to do that, and just got to do it today, then tomorrow, and the next day.
Well, because so you're laughing, and you're clearly holding a few things back there of some of the sillier things that you guys have tried to do.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, I think we're pretty low on the superstition end of things. I know I am personally, mainly just like, not anti-superstition. They just become really inconvenient. Like, the more things that you need in general, whether it's like, you know, the perfect pair of sliders or batting gloves or whatever it is, like, starts to get pretty consuming. So I do my best to avoid those things. But yeah, there's been some things, but hasn't quite worked out yet.
Our midday guy, Dan Bernstein, asked your teammate Ian Happ, and I know you'll be there Thursday at the Music Box, which is awesome.
Yep.
But they asked Happ if you guys could do tequila shots at your lockers after the game. Like, if that was...
Or before the game, maybe we need that.
You know? Hey, you said it. We didn't.
It makes for the best radio shows, I'll tell you that.
something like that, I think, was the idea. Hey, one other thing. What'd you say to the ump as you walked away Friday? I mean, you were the last guy with a word, and you turned and said something, and I was thinking it might have been something like, you were dog crap all day, because that's kind of what that guy was all day.
Yeah, I mean, it was along those lines, but, you know, to be honest, that wasn't something that I felt good about. Like, I was more, that was a situation where I really was just taking out my frustration on an umpire.
I gotcha.
So I didn't like that one. Like, obviously when I got ejected, I never set out to be ejected, but I didn't really like, I didn't feel bad, if that makes sense. This one is, I didn't like how I handled that situation. That wasn't really necessary there, to be honest.
Oh, see, and then I bring you there to close out the interview.
No, I got one more thing.
It's important stuff. It's important stuff. It's all part of the season.
Yeah, it's a human. It's a very human reaction.
Yeah.
He had a rough day, but you can rise above. They go low, you go high, right?
And he's a good dude, and we actually talked the next day just briefly about it, and like, I feel like that's the best way to go about it, because I mean, we're going to be in situations again, so it is what it is.
That's cool to know.
You guys have all spoken so highly of Neris. And it's interesting because he's a newcomer to the team. I know he's addressed you guys, like, he's kind of done some team speech stuff, or at least that's been reported.
Yeah.
So he's tried to pick you guys up when you guys have been struggling. What do you guys do for him? He's a guy that fans don't really know that well.
Yeah, I think some of the things that he's asked of us as a group, it's just like the importance of connectivity and enjoying being around each other. And, you know, how the day game schedule here is a little bit different than most places. And, you know, you have a little less time to interact before games and stuff on those homestands. But just the importance of you know, bridging different gaps in the clubhouse. And, you know, as a guy who's bilingual, he does a great job of that. And you ask, like, what's the best thing you can do for a teammate in those situations? And I think it's just, you know, give to him what he asks of us, of just nothing crazy. Like, you don't need a motivational speech to him or anything, but just check in, ask him how he's doing, talk about his family, like whatever it is. And, you know, if a teammate wants to open up in those situations, they probably will, but at least give him the chance to. And, you know, he's a guy who's had such a great long career. I'm sure he's been through stretches of similar frustrations and found his way through them.
Man, the humanity and the realness that you bring to these conversations matters to people listening. So thanks, man, for doing it the way you do.
Yeah, and it's all part of why the times that are good feel so good, too, and are so special. And this has obviously been extreme, but, you know, we're going to do today as best we can and go from there. And the special moments are that much better following things like this.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. Shane, what's the run differential for the Odyssey softball team?
Yeah, Nico, we are at plus 73 right now in four games. We won 34-0 last night, and our pitcher threw a no-hitter.
That's amazing. You made some nice plays, I bet.
I bet I did. Yeah, I bet. I mean, yes, I definitely did.
He did.
Yeah, had to. You have to in a no-hitter, as you know.
Nico, this is how good our esprit de corps is as an Odyssey team. The intern was there playing, and our big boss, the equivalent of Jed Hoyer, was playing DH last night for the Odyssey softball team.
That's huge. That's when, you know, it's an equal playing field out there, and everyone just honing in together. That's awesome.
So I think basically what I'm saying is we don't need you. So yeah, I'm good, bro.
I'll cheer. I can cheer, or I can just sit and criticize like you guys do.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Well, I was going to offer if you had any questions for Shane about runners in scoring position production. Odyssey softball team's having no problem with it.
Oh, my God. Really?
Line drive down the right field line, right, Shane?
That's it. Three last night.
That's all it takes. All right, Nico.
You got to come watch the game, a game so you can just absolutely hammer them for their lack of fundamentals the next day.
Or just get some inspiration. It could go both ways.
All right, Nico. Thanks for being a good sport as always, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. All later.
Right. See ya. That's Nico Horner. Yeah. He had that unbelievable, like, he had the great hustle on the play before the Bush home run.
Oh, yeah.
Last night. Like, it's like the little things. You know what I mean? Like, that's a winning play,
dude,
that he makes. And I'd love to talk to him about said winning play. Except they didn't win.
Oh, I know. That's like when Patrick Wisdom's pop-up falls on the infield grass.
Yes.
And it's part of what leads to that massive inning. You're like, finally, there it is. That's where the baseball gods have flipped it around.
Yes.
There we go. And then Hector does not.
So
it's interesting because Hector likes just wanting to talk to them, and that's so like they want to talk to him. Yeah, I mean, watching that guy talk on the post game last night,
yeah,
felt bad for Hector. Like he cares. He cares. He's a vet. He's had a good career, and either A, it has completely fallen off the table for the man at this point in his life, or he's just miscast. Or C, like I brought up the other day, he's throwing the splitter way too much, and now when he throws the fastball, it's in spots where everybody knows he has to throw the fastball. You know, there's a variety of factors in there, but it's not going well.
What's interesting, too, from like talking to Nico there, and I don't know how many people were watching on Twitch or YouTube when we asked him about like the fun and like the things that they're trying, and he's talking about superstitions. He was clearly holding things back and was almost like trying to contain a laughter. Like, they have something going on. We know that they had the clubhouse manager be the bat boy for a while, and they were tracking his steps. Like,
they're doing some stuff.
We're gonna ask Craig about your serious and the body language and how do you handle these brutal losses and all of that. Like, these guys are tight. It's the same team, and I don't mean tight as in squeezing the bat, even though that there's a component of that, too, that he spoke to. But I mean tight as in a close-knit group. They get along. They show up for each other's charity events. They hang out on the road together.
And I think they
were here for the struggles last year. They're here for the struggles this year. Like, I don't think that all those soft factors that we talk about, because they're things that we can relate to a little bit better, frankly, like, I don't think that's the main issue with this team. Personally.
Well, you know, what he's talking about is sort of, you know, kind of organized fun and like, you know, helping to push the fun, and he doesn't want to let us in on that. And yeah, like I don't think those factors are necessarily massive, but the point that he doesn't want to share, you know what reminds me of? Remember when Rick Renteria didn't want to tell us what the White Sox were doing?
Yeah.
Like, because they were doing stuff. We saw there was a microphone in there, and like your mean Mercedes was doing karaoke, essentially. Yeah. And like, you know, I think Jose Abreu was playing the bass. He was like, oh, look at that. Renteria is trying to do some stuff. And we asked him about it on air, and he said, I don't really want to talk about that. I don't want to tell you about that.
Like, right, it's the sanctity of the clubhouse.
It loses some of the power if it becomes a public, oh, look at us, which I know for a fact was some of the vibe that went against Joe Maddon eventually, both in Tampa and here. It was like, a lot of that stuff, oh, it's just look at me stuff that Joe's doing.
That you're putting it out there publicly, that's supposed to be further. I mean, remember Nico wouldn't tell us about the stupid hand gesture
right,
that they were doing last year.
Because they need stuff that's theirs, man. Because
yeah.
Otherwise it can come off like, we are laughing. Look at us.
Yeah.
Look how much fun we are having. You know?
Yeah. And so Texas says, though, there's a lot of issues with the Cubs. The main issue is the bullpen. You know? Yeah. I also think it's the lack of power.
I think Nico's, our give and take there with Nico about the line drive percentage and the lack of home runs is especially compelling to him because he's a line drive hitter. At his best, he is a line drive hitter who may luck into home runs. He talked about the difference between going to the plate trying to homer or just going to the plate and trying to get good flush contact. And how many home runs would you hit? He thinks it's about the same. So why wouldn't you go to the plate then trying to get good flush contact?
Sure.
Because more of those will turn into hits in addition to the home runs that happen to come. That's what I got from that.
Yeah, I think that that's totally reasonable. And also, and this is a point that I admittedly will sometimes roll my eyes at when I hear other people do it, and now I'm about to turn around and do it. That dude is a pro. Like, yeah, he's being compensated to do a weekly appearance on the show, but like he clearly feels the, like, you have to show up and be consistent and be accountable. Good times, bad. If you do it in the bad times, it makes the good times better. Like, he's grown into a leader role. I mean, they keep airing that commercial for him during the marquee broadcast three times a game of his first big league call up when guys got injured in the heat of a pennant race and he swings at his first pitch and it's a home run. Like, he's so far from that kid.
How about the fact? Yes, absolutely. And how about the fact that not only did he go back the next day and apologize to the ump for the taking out the frustration, he wanted to talk about it. He was glad it came up. So we could talk. That's part of it. That's part of what we're doing, and that's part of why we need to talk about the process. And maybe in a couple years, when he's a little bit more of a vet, and maybe has the emotions under control a little bit, he won't take it out on poor Manny Gonzalez, even though he had a very, very bad day as the home plate umpire.
So, you know, we'll ask Craig Counsell if there's an update on Mike Tauchman, who had the groin tightness last night.
There are pictures of Miles Mastroboni getting out of a cab at Wrigley Field today.
Well, then we could probably put two and two together on what Craig's answer to that question is going to be. Yeah, I'm actually just seeing a tweet now. Taylor McGregor says that Miles Mastroboni has a locker in the Cubs clubhouse as the media is assembling there now. So we'll talk to Craig Counsell about the state of the Cubs next on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.